You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're back with Sergey Botenko, and his book is called Wild Edibles. It's a fascinating book that really should be in every Canadian home across the country, and probably most of the American ones as well. Sergey, I was going to ask you about plants that really, if we want to be on the safe side, we should probably consider avoiding if we don't know enough about them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. That's a very important topic to address. In my opinion, the easiest way to learn which plants you should avoid is to Google in your area most poisonous plants of wherever you live. So if you live in British Columbia, you'd say, you go on Google and you search most poisonous plants of British Columbia. I live in Ashland, Oregon. That's what I did here. And you get a nice generated list from the internet. And you basically hang that list somewhere where you can see it every day. I recommend right in front of the toilet seat. Every time you sit down, you learn one plant. And this is what hemlock is, for example. This is how to identify it. Because it's much easier to learn what to stay away from and then stay away from those plants than, all the things you can eat, because there are a million times, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but many times more edible plants than poisonous ones. Mm-hmm. In my book, I list the 10 most poisonous plants of the area, kind of North America, and I think it's applicable to Canada. And those plants include things like hemlock, both water hemlock and regular hemlock. Poison oak, obviously, is not a plant that you'd want to eat. There is foxglove, which is a very pretty flower to look at, but you don't want to eat that. And several other plants that you should just be aware of. So that's how I approach poisonous plants. And then also, I have three main rules for safely harvesting wild edibles. The first rule is don't eat something if you don't know what it is. And if you want to watch a funny little video I filmed on that subject, it's called Don't Eat Something If You Don't Know What It Is. It's on YouTube. But it's basically the principle that if you are not absolutely sure that something is edible, don't put it in your mouth. It's not worth risking your life over, right? It's kind of a common sense practice. The second principle, the second rule is when you try new plants for the first time, do it in a very small amount. So, for example, you see a leaf, you're intrigued by it, you figure out that it's chickweed or whatever else it may be, you're going to take a tiny little piece of it and you're going to maybe rub it on your lip or just put a little bit under your tongue. And the reason you do this is because both those areas are very sensitive, and if your body has a negative reaction to that plant, whether it's edible or poisonous, or maybe you're just allergic to it, if you feel any kind of burning or discomfort, that's going to tell you personally that you should stay away from this plant or perhaps do more research before you eat it. If you don't feel any burning or discomfort, just eat a small amount. You know, don't go out and blend a green smoothie out of it or put a lot of it in your salad. Just, eat a rational amount. And then if you don't have any kind of negative reaction, then you know that plant is good for you. And the third rule is, in the interest of being safe, at first, when you're learning about wild plants, don't mix a bunch of them. So eat one plant at a time. If I were to go out and make a salad with 15 different wild edibles and I had a reaction, it would be very difficult to figure out what caused that reaction. But if I eat a salad with one ingredient or two ingredients, then I know one of those two ingredients gave me that reaction and I should probably stay away from that plant.
Sergey, tell us about your trip to Australia where you're giving a course, and you'd never been there before, and you kind of went out and people asked you to show them the wild plants. What'd you do?
So, I'm young and ambitious, and sometimes with that, I sometimes bite off more than I can chew, and this is certainly more true when I was 21, and I'm nearing 30 now. But I got invited to do this wild edible tour in Australia, and I had some idea of what the ecology there was like, but I was a little bit nervous in that, my expertise is pertains more to North America and not so much to an island far, far away. Mm-hmm. I get to Australia and I figured, worst come to worst, I'll just refund everybody their money and I'll just give them some basic practices, give them my, you know, three rules of wisdom about what I just told you, and not to eat the plants and eat them in small quantities. And I think of something. Well, the night after I landed in Australia, I got invited to go salsa dancing with some new friends that I made. And shortly thereafter, basically I lost my friends. And I didn't have a cell phone. I had a vague idea where they live, but no way of communicating with them. That weekend, they were having some major event going on in Perth. And so all the hostels, all the hotels, the motels were booked. And I really had only one option, was to walk the railroad tracks about 20 miles back to where I remembered these people to live. And so I kind of bit the bullet, started walking. And it took me about 5 hours to walk 20 miles. But it was the best thing that I could have done, because I was walking along the railroad, which was illuminated by street lamps. And it went through rural areas, deserted lots, fields, that kind of thing. And those fields were full of wild edibles that I knew very well. And that was the first time I realized that many of the plants that I came to know and love in Oregon actually grow all over the world. Things like dandelions and cat's ears, chickweed, chicory. And so I had this 5-hour intensive course about Australian plants. And the next day when I was ready to teach my class, I was completely prepared.
Nice.
And since then, I've traveled to 44 different countries, soon to be 45. And 80% of the plants that I cover in my books, in my book, I also released a card deck of wild edible playing cards recently. 80% of those plants I've found in the 44 countries that I've been to.
Oh, incredible. Tell us a little bit, because you have some great recipes in the back of the book. Tell us a little bit about some of the recipes, you know, maybe start with a smoothie or breakfast. Go through the day. Tell us what we can eat for out of the wild.
Well, you know, I think a really good introduction to wild edibles is to add them to whatever meal that you're already doing, because we've kind of gotten soft, our taste buds have gotten soft, and, you know, we're used to eating things like carrot cake, donuts, pizzas, or whatever, and all those things are loaded with lots of taste and condiments and sweeteners. So when we try a wild edible plant for the first time, it may not taste very good to us. We need some time to adjust to it. And so what I recommend in my recipe section, first and foremost, is start adding some of these plants to recipes that you already make. So if you're making a soup with quinoa and some vegetables, you can throw some sheep sorrel in there, or, you know, any other wild edible. If you're making a pie, you can start by putting some salmon berries into it. So that's recommendation number one. Another great recommendation is this concept of a green smoothie that my mother came up with about 10 years ago. And a green smoothie is basically a liquid salad where you blend fresh ripe fruit with fresh organic greens. And what that does is the sugars in the fruit counteract the chlorophyll taste of the greens and makes it very delicious and palatable. And it also gives you the potent health benefits of the greens. So right now it's springtime. A great smoothie recipe that I love is to harvest a decent, large, heaping handful of miner's lettuce, which is rich in vitamin C and vitamin A. Blend that with a banana, a pear, maybe an orange. And if you have access to a mango or some blueberries, throw those in, and you get a very delicious, tasty smoothie.
Nice. What would you do for lunch?
For lunch, I would make a big salad. You know, people often ask me, well, how realistic is it, you know, to eat wild edibles, and do you really harvest a lot? We're kind of coming into the season where I offset a lot of my grocery bill because I harvest and grow wild edibles. I have a big yard, about a quarter of an acre, and in it I just let the weeds and wild edibles do their thing. And so in the summertime, I go and I pick my wild edibles and I make a salad, and a nice hearty green salad. Maybe I'll throw some garden-grown tomatoes in there in addition to that. Or sometimes I'll make a wrap, maybe make some hummus, wrap it in a pita, add some wild greens into that. So that's what I do for lunch. And for dinner, I'm a pretty simple guy. I probably do about the same as I would for lunch. Or sometimes I, you know, prepare something that wasn't wild edible, maybe like a quinoa loaf or something, and eat that for dinner. But I really do feel so much better when I harvest and eat greens that are natural that I try and add a little bit into every meal that I eat.
Sergey, it's been fascinating talking to you, and I'm sure people would like to know a little bit more about your book and where to get it, and maybe you can just take a minute and just promote it.
Sure. My book is called Wild Edibles Again, a practical guide to foraging with easy identification of 60 edible plants and 67 recipes. It's available everywhere where books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I know there's some Canadian publishers that carry it too. You can find me through my website, wildediblecards.com. And also check out my YouTube channel, Butenko Films. If you just search Sergey Butenko or Sergey Wild Edibles, you'll find it. And there's a lot of free videos on there that will get you going on how to identify plants, what to stay away from, that kind of thing.
Sergey, thanks for coming on the show. It's been fascinating.
Dave, I'm sorry I was a little bit late, but thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, have a great trip.
All right.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jonathan Beattie about superfoods.